Welcome to the My Magazine podcast, where we talk about everything from pop culture to the latest trending topics. I'm your host, Amani, and you guys are in for an amazing discussion about Naomi Osaka and the mental health in the sports world of tennis. For this episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing Cecil Harris. Cecil is a veteran sports reporter and an author. His latest book, titled Different Strokes, Serena, Venus, and the Unfinished Black Tennis Revolution, is now available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Stay tuned for more. Hello, Cecil. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Amani. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again on another episode of the podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Of course. I mean, with this topic, I know that you are the best person to call.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. But, you know, there has been so much controversy in the world of tennis lately, you know, with everything going on with the French Open. You know, they've been giving Naomi such a hard time after they fined her $15,000 for just skipping the interview portion after her first round win. So, as a journalist, as a person of the media, I do feel like that is absurd because, of course, it will be great for, you know, reporters to get exclusives from athletes, but we never want to force it, right? We want everything to be, like, just genuine. So, to me, that was just very upsetting to hear. But, you know, this isn't the first time that the French Open has caused trouble for players. You know, I know in our previous interview, we talked about how they banned Serena for after she wore her compression jumpsuit when she had that that incident with the blood clots. But what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel like tennis officials should be more concerned about mental health for the players instead of just mandatory interviews? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think sports in general should be more concerned about the mental health of athletes. And I give Naomi credit for bringing up the issue, using her voice and her platform to shine a spotlight on mental health issues. The problem with tennis is the four major tournaments, French Open, Australian Open, U.S. Open, and Wimbledon, form what they call the Grand Slam Committee. And the committee came up with a code of conduct that all the players had to sign. Naomi signed it. The code of conduct basically tells players that they have to give interviews to stars, because the average players, or the reporters, aren't going to ask for their time. But the stars like Naomi or Serena, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, they have to give interviews in the interview room after matches, and then go to the individual TV networks like ESPN, Tennis Channel, BBC, and do exclusive interviews after their matches. The players get fined if they don't do it. It's a rule that the players need to unite and change. But as of now, the players go along with it because that rule has, that code of conduct has sort of led to the big increase in prize money over the last 20 years. And I don't believe that's a fair deal. Okay, the players get more prize money, but they lose individual freedoms.
Right.
And players like Naomi Osaka, who I think qualifies as someone who has social anxiety disorder, it's very hard for her to go through those interviews, especially when, you know, she can't control the questions. It may be about something she doesn't want to talk about, and the questions can be repetitive. And she's very sensitive. She doesn't like being put in that position. I think the tennis establishment is going to have to find a happy medium, and that's going to start with players saying, get rid of this code of conduct because it doesn't work for all of our stars. And Naomi Osaka dropping out of the French Open hurt the French Open. It doesn't really hurt Naomi Osaka.
Right. I hate that. I'm so glad that you brought that to our attention. I mean, because I wasn't aware that they had to sign paperwork for that, but
yeah.
So what do you think it would take? All the players just, you know, signing a petition or just refusing to sign that paperwork to begin with? Or what would you suggest that they do?
Well, tennis is such a star-driven sport, Amani. If the other stars back Naomi, and so far I have not heard any indication that they will. I mean, public expressions of support from Serena, from Venus, But for the most part, all the stars, all the marquee names that sports fans know, whether they watch a lot of tennis or not, those stars are going to have to tell the Grand Slam committee, you know, we're not puppets, we're not pawns.
Right.
Many of our players are uncomfortable with these mandatory interviews. They even have a term for it. They call it media duties. You have to do your media duties. And they couch it in such a way as it's your obligation to the sport. And as a journalist, I know that's not their obligation. Their obligation is to play their matches with professionalism and their best effort. And I think you'd agree, as a journalist, Amani, the best interviews are with people who want to talk to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Naomi went to the French Open on the defensive because she didn't want to go through that process again, particularly because the French Open is played on clay. She hasn't won a title on clay yet. Not that she never will. She's a great athlete. Eventually she will figure it out, but she hasn't won a tournament on clay yet. That was going to be the angle that the media was going to hammer away at her. When are you going to win on clay? Who have you been talking to to practice on clay? And there would have been insinuations like, oh, Naomi, you're so interested in social justice issues. Maybe you should be practicing more on clay. I mean, things like that would have come up.
Oh, my gosh.
And she didn't some reporters will go there, unfortunately. I mean, there's no correlation, but some reporters will go there just to be able to take a shot at Naomi for her social activism last year, which really the overwhelming majority of people support because she was coming from the right place. I mean, and after the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others, Ahmaud Arbery and so many names, Naomi basically shut down tennis for a year last year, just before the U.S. Open, saying, I don't want to play today. It was right after the young man Blake was killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, that was her point, which is, that's enough. I don't want to just go out and play tennis and then do a bunch of interviews after that. I don't want to play today. And because Naomi took that stance, tennis shut down. And, you know, there are some people who are somewhat resentful of her for doing that. And they want to sort of take shots at her when they can. And the convenient shot they can take is, oh, she hasn't won a tournament on clay yet. Well, she's only 23. Her career is basically just getting started.
Right.
You know?
Right.
She'll win on clay eventually, you know, but she just hasn't yet. So Naomi knew what was coming, and she didn't want to deal with all that. I've interviewed her one-on-one. She's very shy and introverted, very polite, extremely intelligent and engaging, but she's not comfortable in the big group interviews where you have to go into the interview room and there are 50 or more reporters there, and she doesn't know what the questions are going to be, how repetitive and boring they may be, or how antagonistic the questions may be. There's some people there hoping to get a viral moment where, you know, maybe I'll give you a better example, Amani. When Venus Williams played at Wimbledon in 2018, I wrote about that in the book, that was right after a traffic accident in Palm Beach, Florida, where a man died. A Palm Beach police officer wrongly accused Venus Williams of being at fault. In 2018, so when Venus won her first round match at Wimbledon, all the questions were about a man in Florida dying in a traffic accident, and the police are saying, it's your fault. Venus left the room in tears, had to compose herself, came back, and took tennis questions only. But that was extremely unfair. First of all, the Palm Beach police were wrong.
Yes.
The trial showed that actually the driver of the other vehicle was at fault, and her passenger was killed because of that driver's negligence. But for a few days, the story was out there, oh, Venus Williams was in an accident and somebody died. And all the questions were about that, not her tennis. And she ended up losing in the third round of Wimbledon after she had reached the final the year before. So, I mean, mentally, the players have to be at their best mentally and physically. And that line of questioning completely threw Venus off her game. She couldn't play her best tennis. And Naomi is concerned about that, too. And I think more athletes are increasingly expressing concern about the importance of mental health. We tend to understand if a player has an ankle injury, oh, they might not be able to play, a hamstring injury. But if there are mental health issues, those need to be respected as well.
Right, exactly. Especially after the year we've all just had. I'm pretty sure everyone can understand that.
Oh, sure. I mean, we're still dealing with the pandemic, and of course, it was at its height last year when all of sports shut down for several months, and then when tennis came back, the issues of police brutality and killings of unarmed blacks on top of the pandemic. A lot of mental stress for so many of us last year because of the circumstances. And, you know, Naomi Osaka took a very brave stand. She actually went to Minneapolis to take part in one of the protest marches and after the murder of George Floyd. So she was out there. She was visible. But you notice she wasn't doing a lot of interviews.
Right.
She's not comfortable doing interviews, but she knows how to use her voice and her platform to call attention to the right issues. And she's doing that now with mental health, not by going on CNN, CBS, NBC, every network, but by using her voice, her platform, and her social media channels to get the word out that the sports world, especially her sport, tennis, needs to start taking mental health issues seriously and stop forcing the athletes to do something that many of them don't feel comfortable doing.
I so agree with that. I agree with that. You kind of answered my next question, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into this topic. So I recently read an article that stated that this experience, you know, with Naomi, sparked an overdue reckoning of tennis journalism's ugly history of demeaning its players. So, you know, as a veteran sports reporter, what are your thoughts on that statement? And, you know, do you feel that journalists should choose journalism ethics over just, you know, getting that award-winning headline that could possibly just, you know, destroy a person, just like you were talking about earlier?
Well, I'll tell you, Amani, there are journalists like me who cringe when I hear someone else in the interview room asking a question that is clearly inappropriate.
Right.
One example of a couple of years ago, Serena Williams was interviewed in the interview room with 50 or more journalists there, and a reporter basically asked her, "Serena, were you jealous of Maria Sharapova earlier in your career because of her beauty?" I mean, it was an absurd question that came out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
You know,
totally off topic.
By the way, Serena played Maria 22 times, and Serena beat her 20 times. Just basically beat her like a drum. But this particular reporter, for whatever reason, asked her that question in the group setting. And that's an example of a reporter, I think, trying to get a viral moment. You know, his question is so dumb. It's so off the wall
right.
that maybe Serena reacts with anger. Maybe they get into a shouting match. And, oh, I asked that question. I did that. You know, that's the unethical side of some of the people, not all, not most, but some of the people who get press credentials for tennis tournaments. If the tournaments were to limit it to legitimate tennis journalists who can prove they have credentials to be there, not just people who are looking for a viral moment or trying to get a cheap headline, that would be much better for the sport. And that, by the way, Amani, is why I'm glad Naomi Osaka decided not to go to Wimbledon. You know, Wimbledon is, you know, the most famous tournament in the sport, but you have to deal with the British press for 2 weeks if you're there from the first round to the finals. And they often have their knives out for certain people.
Right, yes.
And, you know, in light of Naomi withdrawing from the French Open, withdrawing from the tournament in Berlin that's going on now. And, you know, if she were to go to Wimbledon, all the questions would be about her withdrawing from the French Open and how this person doesn't agree with you and that person doesn't agree with you. Taking that, I think, would be 2 weeks of mostly journalists attacking her, putting her on the defensive. And again, you need to be as mentally sharp to win a tournament, any major tournament, as you have to be physically ready. And I think Naomi made the right decision. I'm going to skip Wimbledon this year. I'll go next year. I'm just not right now.
Right. I so agree with that. And yes, like you mentioned, she has withdrawn from Wimbledon, but she plans on making her return at the Tokyo Olympics. So what do you think we can all expect from her based on her athleticism from the past?
I expect her to do very well in Japan. If she doesn't, it might be because she was born in Osaka, Japan, and, you know, they expect her to win a gold medal. There will be pressure on Naomi at the Olympics because it's being played in Japan, but it's being played on her best surface, hard courts. All four of her major titles, her two U.S. Opens and two Australian Opens, came on hard courts. And I think she'll get enormous support from the fans. If she doesn't win, there'll be people taking shots at her in the Japanese media, but I think she can deal with that. And I like that she says she's, through her agent, that she's going to Olympics. That means she wants to be there. She's looking forward to it.
That's super exciting.
Her family on her mother's side, they'll be there. You know, she was born in Japan. She's going back there. In many ways, she will be the face of the Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I think she's looking forward to that. I think she's embracing that. And I would expect her to do very well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, this will be like an amazing opportunity for her. I'm just hoping that the journalists will, you know, keep the questions on task.
That's it. You know, the Olympics, they have a tighter hold on the media than the tennis tournaments. For example, the code of conduct that we talked about.
Right.
That doesn't apply at the Olympics. Naomi is allowed to say at the Olympics, okay, I'll do a group interview, but I don't want to do a bunch of one-on-ones. She can say that. Serena will be there. Serena can pick and choose who she wants to talk to. And that's really the way it should be because, as we mentioned earlier, I mean, the best interviews for me are with people who want to talk to me, not someone who feels like, oh, it's like, this is like root canal. I don't want to talk to this guy.
Right, exactly.
So I think Naomi will like the Olympic experience. You know, she's never been in the Olympics. It's a new experience for her.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait.
It's going to be exciting, I think.
But I know earlier you spoke about your book, and I know we talked about that in a previous episode, but your book, Different Strokes, is based on Serena and Venus Williams, but has this situation with Naomi sparked a new urge for you to write a new book?
Well, I'm very interested in Naomi Osaka. I mean, I closed the book Different Strokes with the Serena-Naomi match at the U.S. Open in 2018. And I'm intrigued by her, everything she's done since then, because since that victory in 2018, she's become the richest female athlete in the world. She made $55 million in the past 12 months. She's been world number one. She's got four major titles and such an interesting backstory. You know, Japanese mother, Haitian father, and she refers to herself proudly as a black woman. She doesn't try to skirt the issue like, let's say, Tiger Woods made up a word. He said, I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm Cabalasian. That word doesn't exist, but he made it up.
Right.
Naomi refers to herself as a black woman when she shut down tennis last year for one day after the killing of Jacob Blake. She said, you know, as a black woman, I do not feel that I should have to play tennis today. This is a time for reflection. And so she's such an interesting person that I'd like to be able to spend more time, you know, interviewing her. The only one-on-one interview I've done with her was at the Australian Open 3 years ago.
Right.
She's someone I'd like to write about. And eventually, I think there'll be so much to say about her that, you know, there'll be multiple books written about her.
Yes.
Remember, she's only 23. She's done so much already, you know?
She has, and she's got, so much farther to go.
Yeah, yeah. And she's just 18 different companies either sponsoring her or she is invested in. And her career has taken a similar arc as Serena Williams in that Serena is a successful businesswoman and a successful athlete. Naomi is already having success in the business world, and it's not all about tennis for her 24/7. She puts it in the right perspective, and I think she will eventually force tennis to change its code of conduct and make some concessions to athletes, maybe use pool reporters, like, you know, you have one pool reporter interview her, and then the transcript is sent to all the reporters at the tournament, so everybody gets quotes. Right. That's one solution I think tennis needs to do, because, you know, Naomi Osaka's not the only athlete who is dealing with social anxiety disorder, if not clinical depression. She's got the platform and the voice to talk about it, but I think she's speaking for many athletes.
I agree with that, and I hope that she does, you know, create this much-needed change within the tennis community.
Yeah, I agree. I think her star will continue to rise, and I think it's good also that she's aware that there are people who are trying to drag her down, and she's taking time away from the haters.
Right, yeah. Yeah, not feeding into it and not giving them what they want. I mean, that's perfect.
Yes.
But please, before we wrap up, please tell the listeners where they can purchase your book and where they can follow you on social media.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. The book is Different Strokes, Serena, Venus, and the Unfinished Black Tennis Revolution. People can find it in bookstores. It's great that bookstores are open again around the country.
Yes.
They can find it at bookstores. They can order it on Amazon or bookshop.org. That's a consortium of independent booksellers. But really, anywhere books are sold, they can find Different Strokes. And if your local bookstore happens to be out of it, they can order it for you.
Awesome. And what about your social media?
Oh, right. On Twitter, it's Author Cecil Harris. On Facebook, it's at Author Cecil Harris. And I'm also on LinkedIn.
That's amazing. Well, Cecil, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a great insight on what's to come at the Tokyo Olympics and also what's to come for the future of tennis.
Oh, you're welcome, Imani. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You do a great job.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning into another episode. This episode is brought to you by Popple. Popple is the digital business card that everyone needs, especially during these times. And guess what, guys? Popple Pro is here. Now you can see your pops, profile views, and analytics all in one place. They have also added 8 new links such as Cambly, OnlyFans, FaceTime, Apple Podcasts, Tinder, and Yelp that are functional for instant sharing. Make sure to use promo code AmonMag for 20% off. As always, for more news and information like this, make sure to check us out on AmonMagazine.com.